Hello everyone, welcome to season 2 episode 6 of Deploy the Garrison. I'm your host Chris. Joining me as always we have Alan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I miss you guys already.
Oh, and Zach, how are you, Zach?
Still coming down from Adepticon. That was a good time.
Good, good. So, as you've gathered, we are all sort of still recovering. I crashed real hard around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Still kind of trying to get my energy levels back to normal and stuff like that. But yeah, we've all recently returned from Adepticon. So that's going to be the main crux of the show. We are going to touch on Officer's Mess. We have a couple of new announcements and spoilers, which we're going to cover as our main topic next time. But then we also have Alan played some Spec Ops, so we thought we'd kind of brush over that a little bit in the Officer's Mess. And then the main topic's going to be basically Fallout from Adepticon. Is that the right word? Fallout? I don't know. Post-Adepticon recap. Fallout's got a negative connotation. I don't think Fallout's the appropriate word, but
I mean, I'm from the UK.
As I've briefed Zach already, I'm not editing, so we're not going to swear. I'm going to leave all of this rambling in, but I think the post Adepticon rundown is going to be the main topic.
Yeah, hopefully it's not Fallout. Hopefully Ollie from the UK winning doesn't put Legion into an Age of Darkness the way it did X-Wing.
Oh,
it's a different time. Ollie, so at least you know, we got that going for us.
Just throwing shade at people who don't even know anything about Legion. How rude.
But, you know, when they start invoking Save Me Duncan.
Legion players, if you're listening, Save Me Duncan happens because I, as a Rebel player, was playing a TIE fighter on stream, and I needed 3 evades to live, so I called out to Duncan Howard, God of the Imperial Aces and 3 agility ships, to save me. I don't remember if he did, but it was catchy. It caught on. And now we're told that Legion players yell "Save me, Duncan," whenever they need good dice rolls. So that's where it comes from.
Without even knowing where it came from or the man who is...
One of you yelled "Save me, Duncan" before him. One of you yelled "Save me, Duncan" in front of that Duncan. I would like you all to know if you're listening.
Oh, you know, that's how you get a cult.
Yeah. Do you like cults? Yeah. This game has cults.
Von Unisprechdeck and Colton is a reference from the ages. But,
a lot of ads for that game.
So, where do you want to start on the spoiled units? I feel like just brushing over ones that we have like unit cards for, or did you want to touch on like the... for future models that we showed us off?
I would say we just go in the order they presented them. I'm sure they had a reason.
I hope you have it written down, because I certainly don't.
I'm stalling.
I'm just going to wing this, and I'm going to say, those Republic Commandos, they look pretty cool.
They sure do. All right, but Range Troopers first, because long live the Emperor.
We're all Imperial players here in some degree.
Yeah, I was saying this to Zach while Alan was occupied earlier. I'm really excited by Range. I think this might be a 3X purchase for me. I'm just going to buy 3 of them.
I think so as well, but I'm not certain. I'm leaning more towards 2 myself, but...
I mean, I think 2 is a safe cool number. I'm trying to think... what else I would need if I was only gonna, like, as we've discussed in the past, I don't know that a single speeder bike is good. I don't think a single Dewback's gonna do it. So then you're looking at splashing an E-Web if you're gonna use all 3 slots. I feel like splashing an E-Web might be cool, man. I don't know.
Someone in the Legion Discord was trying to convince me that 2 speeder bikes and 1 Range Trooper were good. And
well, 2 speeder bikes is good, and Range Troopers seem like they're good, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not sure that speeder bikes are good if they're not getting free tokens or you can't take 4 of them. The couple times I've tried to play I Can't Believe It's Not Blizzard Force, I've been pretty underwhelmed.
I mean, you do lean on the transponder crutch pretty hard in your playstyle, though.
I've stopped in Blizzard Force. I just mean, like, I've seen the 2 in Remnant be good often enough that I can't argue against it, but I think the thing that makes two of them work is the free tokens every turn that they won't get outside Remnant. If Range Troopers were in Remnant, I'd be all over it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
If Range Troopers were in Blizzard Force, I'd be buying four.
Yeah, true.
100%.
Trying to talk myself out of liking Range Troopers because I'm really broke. So listeners, okay, if you see a flurry of articles come up, you'll know that I decided I needed three sets of Range Troopers.
Yeah. Republic Commandos. What about those?
Yep.
They seem cool. I like the models.
They also seem really good.
Go ahead, Alan.
I want to see what Delta does. I want to see what Delta does so bad. Because the basic one seems really good.
The armor scares me because you have the clone faction that, you know, has all this damage reduction and token sharing. And now you're telling me I have to get through all that and they have this armor that will like cut it down even further. Oh, and they're shielded so they can, you know, cut down damage every turn, like, or reliably. I'm a little scared. They're very cool. The models are awesome. The game's cool. I love this close range specialist vibe that they have. I just am like, boy, I've seen those kind of words before and it hasn't been good.
I mean, there were a lot of points though, right?
75 base.
Yeah.
For four minis that are, it's a range 1 to 2.
I mean, so cheaper Mandalorians.
And they'll still, they won't have immune pierce, but they'll have probably, I mean, I guess that's the one thing they got going for them is that you can still pierce them.
Yeah.
Yes. And they don't have like impervious either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, they seem cool. And then Bad Batch, right?
Bad. Yep. Is nice.
Models look incredible.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the actual painted ones. In the case,
yeah,
on point.
We discussed how we might do this, right? I don't think any of us had this implementation. I don't think, like, operative and then just zero model unit. You have to take all of these cards.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting to be sure. It's like Inferno or Clan Ren on steroids. They're just you're taking all of these things, and you're gonna like it.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I do like it. I'll probably get a box just to paint up, even if I'm still out on clones. But
they're legal.
If Bad Batch and Commandos are fun enough, maybe I'm back in on clones. Who can say?
They're separate slots, so they can be in the same list.
Yeah. I'll just keep, as I was saying to Zach, I've got 4 units of phase ones that I've not sold yet. So that's basically an army, right? So regardless of me being stupid, we're not going to touch on any of his stuff. That was the only ones with unit cards that we saw, right?
Let's see.
Everything else about just... I'm really excited about the next two, the sleeper cell and the riot control.
Take it away, Zach.
We're gonna do main topic for next week, right? I don't want to go.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see more about all this stuff because
some
of those release dates are sneaking right up on us.
Yeah. Bad Batch is July. Clone Commandos and Range Troopers are in May.
Yep.
Everything else have
Inquisitors
is like
Inquisitors in Canada. Big sad.
Oh, that's not great. And then just in time for Christmas, it looks like the Rebel Sleeper Cell and Empire Riot Control.
Yeah.
And some crab droids.
And then did they show you guys the new Obi-Wan and the new Grievous?
They did. Okay. And ARF troopers.
Yeah. I wasn't sure because I did the retailer presentation. I didn't do the public one. So I don't know if it was exactly the same or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to the panel?
Absolutely not. I didn't want to get in there. We watched this. A couple of us next to the Spec Ops table, like, we went around a phone and watched the stream from outside the room.
Wow, now see that? Alan's been learning. And what a transition.
Nope. Not going in that room.
Spec Ops tables, eh? So how did that go?
So on Sunday, we only did 2 rounds. The first game was fun and engaging. The second game was not. It's interesting. So the first one that we played was I played against Corey from Inglorious Blasters, and it was a shifting priorities, just basically intercept. But on the second round, you roll a die, and the intercept, one of the three, becomes a priority, and it's worth 2 points instead of one. That one felt pretty balanced and fun. The next one we did was transmit the codes. And I think with certain squads, if you're a red player, you just auto win on turn one. And that's less fun. I think part of that was the table, but there's a line of sight blocker that I couldn't get from my deployment to defend the little transfer spot. So you have your crack team, which is the red player, which is randomly determined at the beginning of the game. You do a road roll with red attack dice. That determines who's red and who's blue. It's asymmetric on that one. So blue is defending, red is trying to transmit these codes. If they have a person with the codes touching one of the transmitters at the end of the round, they win. So I have to defend for four turns. And I don't want to go too deep into it, but like, it's interesting. I thought it was fun, but I think it needs some tweaks to have a little more balance. Like, there's a difference between fun balance and competitive balance. I don't care about competitive balance, but when you can just blow it out in one turn, that's not exactly fun. So
I feel like you didn't mention the table when we discussed it in the airport. So
this is just kind of me thinking back on it since. Yeah. I think some of the line of sight blocking maybe.
Yeah, I remember you saying that because of line of sight blocking, you couldn't cover both of the objectives.
There's one position. So on that objective, you have two deployment zones for the defender, and it forces you to split your army between the two.
Yeah.
So I'm having to face an entire army with half of mine, and then you go from there. But there's two big line of sight, like mountain pieces that were about this big. It's hard to say.
I have a question.
About 6 or 8 inches around. Yep.
If we were playing that mission at my house, and I'd set the table up.
Sure.
Came out to the house, and it was that table, and we were playing. Would you not just say that, oh, I don't know about this terrain setup because I feel like it makes this mission unwinnable? Let's move these things around. Now you've played it and have that knowledge.
So now that I played it, yes. But I think there's still a certain amount of...
I'm not saying it's so... There's two things at play. I just want to cover this one first. Yeah,
that is part of it. I'll agree with that. The other part is...
I wanted to say, like, at a con where the tables are all set up, there is often a lot of pressure to not move the terrain around.
So we did have the option, but of course... Yeah. I'm brand new to this. I don't know. I don't know any better.
Generally, my experience of people turning up to tournament games, even if you tell them, you know, move a train around if you want to, these are just in arbitrary positions, people don't.
Well, so, we also, we had like six people on the second round. We only had six people show up, and we had an entire line of tables that we could just pick one. We could have picked it to a different table, but it's like, hey, I played on this one, you played on that one. Okay, let's play on this one.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
No, I get it. No, that's part of it. Not knowing any better. And like, obviously it being early on in your experience.
Sure.
And then the second thing that I think comes into play.
Probably limited in the people who set the tables experience too, to some extent.
Yeah, probably. But like there's wargaming has a long history of scenarios that are supposed to be unwinnable. Like, people still play, you know, Thermopylae and the Hot Gates as the Spartans. People play games as, I remember Battle at Rorke's Drift, so you get the Imperial Guard Praetorians against the Orc Horde. Definitely not, you know, playing Zulu and Rorke's Drift, don't worry about it. But, like, there's a chance that... Because I remember you mentioned that your friend was saying that it was a scenario that seemed reversed, that it was almost not open for a defender. And I feel like having one each of those scenarios, that is supposed to be an uphill struggle that...
Sure.
Personally, I prefer if that's called out, if you're going to do it. You know, explicitly call out, this is a hard scenario for the defender. This is a hard scenario for the attacker. Because I think that's really healthy for a game. Like, certain groups have stronger players and weaker players that are happy in that role and knowledgeable of what role they play in it. Yep. So, like, for example, I'm gonna use myself as a card game player. I'm very bad. I acknowledge that I'm bad at card games, so I don't mind if someone plays a weaker deck and I play a stronger deck, because then we're actually playing a balanced game, kind of thing.
Sure.
But, yeah.
That's all fair.
I'm not trying to take away from your lived experience.
No, I don't.
That's my view on it, having not played it.
Sure. So part of it, so the my opponent, great guy, actually, you know, one of the nice things about Worlds, and I'll get to this later, is like half of my opponents were not from the U.S. Like, right down the middle, half of my opponents were not from the U.S., and that was great. He played in the previous Spec Ops tournament, so he played on a day where they played all four of them, and so he was relaying to me, you know, on one of these, the defense, you know, being the attacker was a no-win scenario. So I was just kind of relaying that experience that he had to you. So, like, he knew what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. Going back, if the roles were reversed, what happened was Spec Ops, you can only do each action once, so you can't move. They introduce a second action called dash, which is just a speed one. So you can move speed two, speed one, and then your commander can come up and give you either, in his case, his commander had guidance. It's a T-series had guidance, but whatever. So he was able to give his B2 another move, which got him in base contact.
Yeah, so he just...
So just move, done, game over.
He played a tournament game while you were playing a learning game. Seems like a fun guy. But no,
I mean... Well,
that's a little tough with a new format, because you're going to have that.
I mean, ultimately, it was an event at Adepticon. He did the correct thing, but, you know...
Yeah.
It does impact your experience of learning this new game mode.
Sure. And, like, I don't think it really...
Had the roles been reversed, I would, especially if it was a newer player, I would state that, oh, in this mission, I can just do this, and win, but we'll just play a normal game kind of thing.
Yeah. And so, yes, it was a tournament. I use heavy air quotes there. Tournament. But really, it was just a way to organize players to play this game. They did give out a medal, but it's just like, meh, whatever. They give out medals for everything.
No, they didn't give out medals for everything, Alan.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
You weren't the first player. You weren't the top player in the LCQ. They did give one out for the LCQ. Anyway, so I was using a learning game, so it's like, I don't really care, but it's just like, wow, that feels bad. But, you know, thinking about it later, there's ways to mitigate it. But I think the idea is really strong. I like the idea of Spec Ops, and I'm going to definitely try all of the other two missions, both for and against, or offense, defense, and see how they pan out. So I'm reserving judgment, but so far it's mixed.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is too, like, you know, it's sort of like hemmed in and payload. Now that you know that possibility exists, is there something you can do to avoid it in the future?
On that table, no. You have to change the terrain. There's a terrain problem. Because everything is single model minis, you got to be real careful with line of sight blockers. And I don't know how to handle that. I wonder if Spec Ops is not designed for a lot of line of sight blocking. I mean, not that there was a lot, but there's two pieces in two key positions that were just bad.
Yeah, I think this is a universe conspiring kind of thing, you know.
But yeah, and I'm not really mad about it. I just wanted to try it out, see what would happen.
Yeah. So I feel like you're very close to being outside the bell curve, if you know what I mean, of experiences of playing that mission, is all I'm trying to
probably
get across. I think if you played it 100 times, this would be your least fun time playing it.
I agree. I think if I knew what was going on going into it, I'd probably be better prepared. The problem is that I don't know if I could do anything about it. And that's what makes me nervous.
If you were going to run an IG-88 deck with a bunch of crappy yellow cards in it, and then your opponent just ran Vader and ramped up and just played Vader, and there was nothing you could do about it, that kind of bad feeling, you know, once you know about it, you kind of
prefer. Yeah.
And, sure. That kind of thing.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Then we can move on to the main topic then. But last thoughts on Spec Ops. You're happy. You're going to try it again some more.
I'm excited to try it again. I'm not swearing it off, to be sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving it quite my full stamp of approval.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm going to have to try it. Okay. And then, so main topic. We have our Adepticon thoughts. I'm going to open here just because I feel like after this little burst of information and talking, I'm just moderating this discussion because I judged X-Wing. I ran all the side events. I got very little free time. I got some cool interactions with the AMG folks at the retailer part. Every interaction I had with AMG as running the event was great. Adepticon staff were great. The terrain looked beautiful. I think they did as good a job as that large a tournament can to give you varied tables without it being, you know, everyone needs to bring their own table.
Sure.
Yeah. I spent 12, 14 hour days just running tournaments for people, and yeah, it was tiring, exhausting, very rewarding. It was really, really nice to be challenged in a work environment. Don't normally get that anymore. So I had a great time. I really, really...
You generally seemed pleased with yourself when you weren't nose deep.
Generally, when I'm doing that level of con, I have like 30 minutes at the start of every day where I'm very close to being in a real foul mood, because I know that the players are going to get in their own way of letting me get everything done for them. And there's no way to communicate it that doesn't make me sound like an asshole because of my tone and the timbre and pitch of my voice. If I have that forthright tone with you, I just come off like an asshole. It's unavoidable. And that annoys me more. So I doom spiral. And once I've got everyone where they need to be and people just leave me alone, I've got a 2-minute job, but I have 5 minutes worth of people talking to me about, if they let me do this 2-minute job, we'll answer all of their questions and more. You know what I mean?
I think you gotta learn from the head X-Wing judge, and I believe he likes the phrase, please hold.
Yeah. I like to just be pretty frank with people and say, if you leave me alone, you'll get your answers sooner. But that's why I feel like I can be come across as an asshole.
It's funny because I've known you long enough that you sent me that apology for something, and I just stared at my phone. I'm like, what is he talking about?
No, I know.
Yep.
But yeah, it's fine. It's all good.
I know when you shifted to work. I've known you long enough now.
And I think a large portion of my attitude there is I'm used to being around people who are operating in that environment, and I'll drop a conversation and come back to it 45 minutes later with them when they're free again, because they've got stuff they need to be doing. And I just click the save button on the conversation, reload that point in the game and come back to it later.
Yeah.
But
I definitely felt that work in Worlds 2019 a little.
Yeah. And it's, some people get it, some people don't. For people who don't, it's very hard to convey that what you're trying to do. My feelings from like the last part, like last 2 days, was very much like I've got 7 X-Wing judges worried about the main event, and I'm trying to worry about every other person who came to Adepticon who has an interest in X-Wing. So I kind of, again, it's a lot of pressure, put on myself kind of thing. But I loved it. Loved every second of it. And yeah, I got to see people. I got to meet Evan in person. So that was cool. I got to stay at Alan's house again. Got to get hugged by Zach again. It was generally a very pleasant time.
It was only the first time you've been to my house. It's not again.
That you know of.
Oh, my.
Sneaky.
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay. Alan came to my house last time with Zach. That's fine. But yeah, I got to see you guys again in person. It's always always good to hang out properly. We went for food. We had a meal. It was great. Yeah, and that's my part of it. So I'll throw it on over to Alan. So what did you do on your first day at Worlds?
Well, we got there Wednesday, and it was nice to just kind of meet a couple people, hang out. And then Thursday was, I did the Swiss because I already had my invite. And we played, I played three rounds, and we waited for tickets on the fourth round because my opponent didn't want to play Triple H Tasty Tempest again. And I didn't want to play against Yoda Padme again. And it didn't matter that day. So we're just like, we're going to split the tickets. And it was very nice to meet you. But yeah, two rounds. I went 2-1 on the Swiss day. I played my first round was against Yoda Padme Chewy. Breakthrough hemmed in. And I won 5-3. That one. The next game was against one of Zach's locals. I went all the way to Chicago to play one of Zach's locals. Well, he's from Madison, so local-ish.
So he's not even Madison. Madison is just the hub of everyone that plays X-Wing, or not X-Wing, Legion. And it's like all of that southeastern-ish, even though Madison's a little more central. And gotcha. they're more north.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
but anyway, I played Tom, and he played Cassian, a tooled up land speeder. So he had the ion gun and a rocket launcher, and then Rebel Boba.
Oh man, you must have been rubbing your hands together. Oh look, my three AGSTs have a target.
Yes,
I hope
yes,
you didn't
indeed.
Spend points on that vehicle, because it ain't going to be here long.
Yeah, so I stayed back. I waited for him to come in. I shot it up pretty good at the end of turn one, and then I went first on turn two and destroyed it. He wisely got Boba Fett out, and then Boba Fett kind of went back and around. And that one was key positions. I just kind of picked things off and ended up 2-1. With key positions on that one. And then my round three opponent was, I believe his name was Daniel.
It was.
Germany. And he was playing 14 act Ewoks. And I killed an awful lot of Ewoks, but it didn't matter because we played his battle deck and I got rid of Breakthrough. And yeah, he didn't want to play key positions. And then it was Breakthrough and Intercept. And I just, did not. I couldn't do Breakthrough. I just lose on Breakthrough. Turns out I lose on Intercept too. It was 10-0. So I got smoked. And thus begins the trend of me winning against Americans and losing against people that came from the rest of the world. And then my fourth game, we just drew essentially, and that was a gentleman from Australia. But we were both tired, and it was just like, no, I don't want to have to think on this game. Let's save our energy for the real event tomorrow. And so we split our tickets, shook hands, and went our separate ways. Great guy.
So Alan went 2-1-1 on day one of Worlds. How did you go, Zach?
Well, so as you guys may recall, I earned my invite for X-Wing already, and I had really looked forward to playing the Legion Last Chance Qualifier, so I did. I took 14 act Ewoks. Pretty similar to Endless, and I actually made some tweaks back and forth, but it was pretty similar to what and we did. We pulled off the Ewok miracle, for those of you wondering. I painted 28 Ewoks in 4 days. I borrowed a squad from my buddy Zach Lovedahl. We got 14x down. But yeah, the big changes were I didn't do the esteemed leader thing. I kept up close and personal on Han. But I was, you know, pretty close to what you've seen. My first round I played against, it was actually kind of funny and neat. I played against a weird segment of like other lists that I thought about. So the first list I played against was a Cassian Boba list. And we wound up on, oh, that's round four. That's why I had it ahead of me just to double check. We had it on Breakthrough, Danger, Close, and Hostile. So I was able to just, we played our entire game in one corner. I walked over to his side of the table. I placed all 14 acts down along one spot and then just kind of moved them at him. He went for the rule with respect on turn one, and I went for change of plans and then killed Boba turn one, so that he could not rule with respect. And then I got a little lucky later. He didn't see the log trap coming. I chipped in 2 damage on Cassian, which was probably one more than I could realistically expect, and got him with the log trap. And then it was just kind of a mop up on Breakthrough. He had a sniper team that was able to get over, but I had like 5 or 6 of my squads over. My second round was really, really fun. Because my opponent was playing Echo Base Tons with 1 FD cannon in it. And we wound up on Intercept. Battle Lines is weird. He uses Last Veto to put us on Battle Lines, and I was a little upset about that. And Fortified. But I got really lucky. There was a really large piece of terrain on one, line of sight blocking terrain on one side of the table. So I just had one Ewok squad over there. And originally I was going to threaten middle and right side, but what wound up happening is I realized I could push my left side, and it took his Tons a couple turns to get over there, so it let the rest of my stuff work into a good position. And then unfortunately that one did go to time early. We were on turn 4, which I learned that if you go to time on a scoring turn, so turn 4,
you double score.
Not only do you double, you triple score.
But so you score
for last turn.
Yeah, you score the end phase one, which is double points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to the turn 4 one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition. So you score 3 points apiece.
Yeah.
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 Yep. Oh.
Yeah, we confirmed with the judges.
There isn't actually scoring turn 6, Owen. It's at the end of the game. You score.
And then you score 2 for each at the end of the game. Got it. All right, news to me.
You score at the end of turn 2, you score at the end of turn 4, and then you score at the end of the game.
My third day.
Brushing up on my Legion, if anyone from AMG is listening, you know I'm brushing up on my Legion judging skills. Don't you worry.
My third game, I don't want to talk about too much. It was the first time Pleasant came to Legion I've had. We were on VAPS. I won. I'll leave it at that. My fourth game was the opposite. It was crazy fun. I played against a gentleman named Justin who bought Blizzard Force, but it looked like a normal Vader Blizzard Force, but he cut a bike and basically used as many points as he could to get grenade, flamethrower, snowtroopers on the board.
Yeah, which was really scary for me. My man.
Our table was super open. It was on payload, and it was limited viz. I managed to get limited viz to reduce his HRUs. And the table was open, but there was like one line of sight blocker that slowed his bikes coming in a little. And then I made one big mistake on turn 4 or 5. I should have played for the tribe because of the previous turn, I changed a plans when he was trying to Masters of Evil. And I should have been like, oh, he's going to Masters of Evil again. I'll just recover everything. And instead, I think I, sorry about the mess. To try and finish a bike squad. I don't remember the exact sequence. We were both tired. It was a lot of fun. He did We were trading an Ewok squad for a flame trooper squad back and forth pretty early. And then I managed to just do a lot of double moving on turn two to stop his payload for like two turns. And because, you know, it was 9x to 14x and his bikes were flanking, I managed to stop it. And then his Vader started going to town and I just barely had my payload in range to score. It was 1-0. So I did manage to go undefeated, and then decline it and not get a medal because all the X-Wing LCQ players who made it through got medals, but I guess not so much for the Legion players.
So I believe the number of medals you could ask for was to do with your total player count. This is all, don't quote me on this, I don't want to see it being spread around the internet.
Yeah.
So don't be on Reddit, Chris said, and I believe obviously X-Wing had a billion more players signed up purely for the nature of how many side events we had, because we need to use West Space kind of thing. But jokes aside, I mean, we had three Swiss pods on Sunday, which people could sign up for. Unconventional Warfare, you could play throughout the day, which like 70-odd people signed up for. We had doubles. So like we were literally counting tickets sold is the metric they used for number of trophies. And then the head TO got to allocate or ask, like, request trophies based on that number is, I believe, how it worked. So yeah,
cards on the table, everyone. The time leading up to Adepticon is a very busy one for my family. You know, I'm not going to win Worlds or anything. And any game that is played at Adepticon, you will find someone more prepared and more worthy to win. Even I got lucky on my 4-0. None of my opponents had played Bright Tree before. Multiple of them just had no idea the log trap card existed.
That's a choice you can make, I suppose.
I certainly got lucky. Three of them were great guys, would play again. Didn't quite work out, but I definitely have more thoughts on Ewoks. I don't know if we'll do it on a separate episode or a later, or I'll write something up, because this is what the people asked for. And I mean, you know, if a lot of my opponents didn't know what to expect with Bright Tree, there's certainly content to be put out. One is watch out for the log trap. It can only be launched from the trapper unit. Your opponent weirdly waits for you to weirdly lines up his trapper unit in a straight line unobstructed from one of your units, you know it's coming. If suddenly I'm not doing two speed moves forward, trying to get to your lines, and I just stop, again, log trap coming. Like I said, it was a fun time as a whole. The tables were great. Slight nitpick on the last table, but honestly only because the other three tables were so good. And the last table is visually very cool. It felt like where almost everything else felt like a high level con, big deal, fancy show off. This felt like really hard work that someone had put in for, one of their first couple tables. It wasn't all 3D printed stuff. It had an aesthetic to it. It had a sweet TIE bomber in it. And it wound up playing payload pretty good. It was just weird how open in the middle it was. And obviously when one person's got HRUs and the other person's got slingers, that open in the middle creates a weird dynamic for it.
Not if it's limited viz.
Yeah. God bless limited viz.
Yeah. So congrats on the 4-0, mate. You won 100% of the Legion games you played at Worlds.
I did.
Oh, right.
Spoiler for the audience, Alan and I didn't get a matchup in because I was having too much fun playing X-Wing.
Yeah. Did you play any people that were not from this country?
Not in Legion. Ironically, so like I said, I took the French national champions list, and the French came back for the wins they gave me. They came back with a vengeance in X-Wing Swiss.
I'm just saying, against American opponents, we got it on lock.
I did beat a Canadian in X-Wing Swiss.
Well, that's something. So, I suppose.
I mean, I think you guys did really well. I mean, we're going to go back to Alan now for his day two, but I am not ashamed. Now, I am ashamed because I feel like we're very close to having to change the taglines of, like, you know, kitchen table competitive kind of thing. You don't have to just go to Worlds and do well, you know? That's not what we're here for.
I went to Worlds and did at okay. I ended up my run 2-2. My first two games were against some Rebels. One had a bus and a unit of pikes and Op Luke, and he ran the bus at me towards the end of the first round. And so, much like this, the land speeder of the day before, it evaporated quickly. Turns out Triple ATSD just eats a bus for lunch. And that was also a breakthrough round. We ended that one 7-5. Yeah, Chewy and a couple other people, they ran off to around the corner, and I killed four things and ran into the end zone. Then I played against another guy. Let's see, he goes, he was playing Lando Boba and a whole lot of, like, four vets with CMOs, two Mark IIs, a Slinger, and two full scout commando teams. That one scared me because the amount of crits that list can put out was it was a force to be reckoned with. Unfortunately, they didn't show up the way he needed them to. I stayed back at standoff like we had practiced, and I just kind of tore Yay. Through things at range four. And then once he was pretty well gutted, I was able to move to range two. I lost two scouts and one ATSD, but it was key positions. That map was weird. We didn't have a lot of key positions at options, so they ended up being on little boxes, like single boxes that my ATSD could just cover.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
It was just... Everything was stacked. Everything was stacked yeah. against him. I felt bad, but it's just like, well, here we are. So he had Lando, a vet leader, and one commando squad at the end of that game. It was a rough one. So I won
did
that
you,
one.
Three did you days. Tell him, you know, just be careful you don't change the bargain more, you know?
Yeah, I should have. I wasn't playing Vader. It felt wrong. Yeah, so that was a 3-0 KP, and I felt bad. And then so my hubris came to roost because I played another German that was on the same kind of crew that Daniel was the day before. I believe it was Marcus. I think I probably got that wrong, but he was playing Pike Spam with Maul. So it was Maul, six Pikes, and two Capos.
Okay.
And that terrain was a little... rough too. I deployed poorly, and so my ATSDs got bottlenecked. There's these weird terrains where it's like, so in episode 7,
the Mandalore tables.
No, it was, well, it might have been. It wasn't one of the Mandalore tables.
Green,
it had this
spiky.
No. No, it was like a Star Destroyer Hulk wreck. So there's a giant engine casing that was probably like height 2, and it was huge.
I think
And then like a shield generator.
Like, yeah.
And then a big shield generator dome and everything. But I got bottled up, and then his pikes just like I'd get eight solid hits in suppressive is great, right? To go to cover, to go to his dodges, to just a force barrier, and then he's rolling you know, four or five against
the
two remaining hits. That was also breakthrough. He pushed it to breakthrough, and it's just I didn't want to play key positions against Maul because force push.
Can't force push an ATSD, man.
You can't force push an ATSD, but they can go around, and then they hit my squishy core. I probably should have tried to keep key Wait, positions.
Could
but
you?
He might have got
could
rid
you
of it.
Stop him from getting to breakthrough?
I don't remember, honestly. It's all kind of a blur now. I played breakthrough. It was probably a mistake. But we got to round four. He had killed all of my core and one of my ATSDs, and we basically called it. It was like, okay, I'm going to get my two ATSDs in. You've got two squads and then your two capos. So it was 4-2. He just ended up winning that one.
Couldn't have suppressed off the squads on the way down.
Not really. No. The way the terrain was is just kind of, I got choked up. My ATSDs didn't have enough mobility to really do what I needed to do. The shots I was getting on target, they were just bouncing off of dodges, cover, and then force barrier. So I think I killed one pike squad. He had one 5-man that didn't have the capo in it. That's the one I killed. That was it.
Yeah.
The defensive stacking is pretty rough. It's pretty rough. You get a lot of hits in and just things just bounce. What are you going to do? Then my last game, I played a guy from Denmark. I believe it was Lucas. It was spelled funny, and I can't look up the tournament right now because game out link for Worlds is busted.
I was gonna let Zach have that, but okay, Zach,
you've got
60 seconds for there your
two
your...
great tragedies in life: not getting what you want and getting it. I won, but at what cost? I didn't know the whole background of why game uplink is the way it is. I thought it was thought the shortcomings still existing were either personal arrogance or negligence or just not listening to consumers. I understand there's more going on. So I'll take my little victory lap and call it a day. But it sucks that it broke in the way that it did during the event and after.
But we're having no more negativity about Game Uplink on this podcast anymore. This is Zach's like last hurrah before his victory lap.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Alan, back to you.
Anyway, so gentleman from Denmark, I believe his name was Lucas. He was playing a Anakin arc list. It didn't have Padme. It had a clone commander, three full arcs, and one of them had Echo. A boil phase two and two RPS phase ones, but that one, and an 18 point bid, which is like, it's like, I have an 18. I'm like, eight? I'm like, well, eight's still more than seven. He's like, no, 18. Oh, well, I guess we're playing your deck. He's like, well, let me see yours. He goes, looks at my objectives. He's like, nope, we're playing mine. It's like, yep, now, yeah, okay. So that ended up on Saturday.
That should have been your first warning right there. When the person with the 18-point bid asks to read your deck anyway, that's generally a warning that you should be on your top of your game.
Absolutely top of my game. It was game four, and I was tired. And I'm just like, I'll be fine. I was supremely overconfident and was rightly punished for my hubris. He did exactly what he had to do. He just ignored the ATSDs as much as he could. He had scouted up a unit of arcs. He waited for me. There was like this curtain wall that I thought I could put my VAPs behind, and they measured that they would be right on top of the wall, and then I'd never be able to tap them. So I had to put them just outside the wall. That's unfortunate. And then my next mistake was, I'll just send my troops out there, grab it, and then come back. Well, those arcs pounced as soon as I went outside the wall. They killed the scouts and then immediately booked it back towards that line. Well, crap. Okay, so now he's got me on kill points because he has to be the aggressor. He has to do kill something because I don't have the bid in this case. So I'm winning because I spent more of my list if we go to a tie.
Yeah.
So he kills the scouts and immediately starts pulling back, which means I have to start going on the offensive and trying to kill something. And Anakin, defensive stance, and force barrier. It turns out clones are really hard to kill. Again, it's the defensive stacking. So, you know, two goes to cover, two or three or four goes to the dodges, and then force barrier, and he's rolling one save, and they just blocks it. And it's like, cool.
I mean, I think I managed to walk past that your game at the end twice when I was making excuses to go back to HQ.
Yeah.
And I feel like your play was to walk right up to a wall so you can speed one move over it, tap with two units in turn six. So I
should have been my play.
Yeah, have your AT.
So my opponent and I talked as well. Our thought was, well, why didn't you just put your ATSDs and block line of sight? Like move the ATSDs in front, block line of sight, tap it, and then pull everybody back.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you jump, double tap in round six and just call it a day. Both of those are excellent strategies that I did see on the table day of. Round four, it was rough, man. Four rounds in a day is rough, but I felt a lot better round four the day of than I did back at the deploy of the garrison. Like that round four, I was just gone. I was already gone.
Yeah.
I still had some presence of mind, but you know, I just made too many stakes, and then I had to try and claw back the game. And turns out Saber Throw Fire, supported by a clone squad with an RPS, makes very short work of an ATSD.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, throwing a lightsaber with a rocket following it is it's pretty good strat. If you want to kill ATSDs, that's the way to do it, because...
I prefer leaving my HSD killing to last turn.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
No, so, I mean, that probably would have been the better strategy, is just either wait till turn six or use my ATSDs to block line of sight.
Yeah, anything that he positions to jump on you, pound with the ATSDs from range, because you share range four. You don't want to just morph because you're never going to get through the defensive, but punish him for positioning for five turns, and then, like I say, double move the ATSDs to block.
Some of the buildings, even with the ATSDs the way they were, like the buildings were tall enough that even my ATSDs couldn't see over them. They couldn't see the arcs on that building. That building was range two of those two VAPs. And even with my ATSDs right there, couldn't see them.
Yeah.
Like if I stepped over the curtain wall, then maybe I could see them. But in either case, it was a good game. I thought I had a chance and I threw that chance away, and Lucas was very much in control of that game from the rip. I think, looking back on it, he knew exactly what his game plan was, and I was confused at best.
I feel like we discussed this going in quite a lot, like when I was at your house and we were talking, like you opted into the skew knowing that it was like, it's not even like a skew, triple HSD is like an extreme skew.
Yes.
So there was always going to be matchups that you struggled into. And then it's also something that everybody else thinks about your list. You don't think about everybody else's list.
Yeah, I had a general plan for clones, but I didn't have probably the as good a grasp on what my general plan was for all of them. And I think I had a general plan. But then he has an 18-point bid, and that plan immediately goes out the window. And then it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here.
I'll have to check what the bid on my Yoda Wookiee Battle Force was, because I know that my plan was I'm just going to outbid everybody, play my deck, and hopefully win, and kind of go from there. But yeah, like there's some missions you're just not going to win against them, so you need to have control of that battle deck. And yeah. It's a viable strategy, and looks like it paid off.
Yeah, but he had his deck, and then he also told me at the end that he's basically been playing the same list for 2 years, or variations of it. And then with the recent change to arcs, they just gave him more points, which which let him get a bigger bid. He just left it alone, and his bid went from like 7 or 8 to 18.
Yeah, I feel like we got like
with 5 points or something like that. Yeah, he got five or six points, and he's just like, cool, bigger bid. It's like,
yeah, cool.
All right, man.
Yeah, I actually have to think about my own battle deck now. Great.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so overall, you went, of games you actually played, you went 4-3, right?
4-3. If you include the Spec Ops, it would be 5-4. But
we don't include
Spec Ops are different. Yeah. So, 4-3.
What you could have done is say to your opponent, well, if you don't want to play round four in the warm up event, you can concede, but we'll split the tickets. Because then you could have said you went 5-3. But
you know,
hold him hostage. No, I want to play this game unless you concede. Hold them hostage to pad your podcast record.
No.
It's the only important thing.
No, it's not the most important thing.
How will anybody know that you're on a podcast if you don't?
I don't care. If they ask, I'll tell them. Also, that fourth round opponent, he had heard of us and apparently listened to a couple of episodes. in Denmark. It's like,
oh, only a couple.
Cool.
Correct, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always funny when people like, oh yeah, I listened to a couple episodes. It's like, okay, so you stopped listening. We didn't earn your listenership. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. I don't. It was.
You can tell us we suck. It's fine.
You can tell us, give us feedback on how to improve.
I chose to. Hey, he chose to try and listen to us a couple of times. If he didn't stick with us, then that's fine. Nobody should listen to us anyway. But more than once. Yeah, it was fun. It felt like a world's tournament. I got to play people from all around the world. So, two people from Germany. I interacted with a person from Australia. A person from Denmark, and then on Spec Ops, a person from Chile. So yeah, it was a very world's tournament, and I greatly enjoyed it. 2-2 for the main event, which is two more wins than Zach got in the main event for Legion. So, yep, there we go. And sorry, I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah,
Can't hear you over the sound of my awesomeness. No, it was great.
I made an hour without rubbing it in, Alan.
I was just waiting for you. You can get it. Come on. No, it's okay. So ended 95th, which most importantly was a bunch ahead of a couple of the other podcasters. So, you know, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. No, I'm happy that you guys had a good time, and I'm more than proud to say that I podcast with you both. Get all soppy for a minute. You guys are great. I'm happy for you both.
Yeah, my big regrets from the weekend were the only regret I had on the tables at all was that, like I said, I just knew with where my life was and everything, I wasn't exactly going to, tear it up at any of the events. But my last game of X-Wing, in the main event, my opponent had what I call a list building puzzle. So it's this kind of list where you look at it, you figure out what it's supposed to do, you attack it correctly, and you probably win handily most of the time, which is why we were, sitting there at the, I think we were 5-3-1 was our record at that table. And I incorrectly diagnosed his list and lost for it. And I was a little disappointed in myself because I usually do better in those scenarios. And I've played that kind of list before and diagnosed it correctly. Yeah, new components since last time I'd played it. But then the only other regret is I think next time I just have to schedule my friend time. Be like, these friends are Friday night, these friends are Saturday night. Because I'm real blessed. I have a lot of friends from a lot of X-Wing and a lot of gaming. And I just feel like I didn't get to see some people as much as I wanted to over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know what to expect. So I was just like, well, I'm playing Legion and then I'll hang out wherever there's gaps. I mean, most of my Saturday was open, so I got to hang out with people then. But it's the first time meeting people.
And you got your Aerodome medal.
I did. Oh, yeah. On Saturday, I played Aerodome. I got first place in the Aerodome tournament. So that was cool, too. Yeah. Not relevant to Legion, so I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah, it was fun.
I mean, this is the time to kind of close out with any ancillary stuff, right? Just generally Adepticon kind of things.
I have a third big regret. I had meant to grab some groceries, like some Uncrustables or some Pop-Tarts or breakfast bagels or something, and I did none of that, and I paid through the nose at the hotel every day.
My big regret is getting the sausage, egg, and cheese muffin that was on my way to the hall in the morning when it was in fact an egg and tomato sandwich. That's my biggest regret. Can you imagine my disappointment unwrapping that product that was labeled as sausage and egg? So full disclosure, generally I just take the egg off anyway and I just wanted sausage and cheese muffin. I got tomato and egg. So after I take the tomato off and the cheese is melted into the egg, so I just have bread. So I just threw it away in disgust. I mean, that's false. I tried to give it away and no one would take it. Did I offer that to you, right, Zach? Did I offer you the
I don't think so. I took your sub And I took a bite out of it, and I realized there was cheese on it, and I was sad because
it was so good. Sorry. Yeah.
I traded the rest of the grasser for some chicken tenders.
Yeah. That was my biggest disappointment in a long time. So I discovered that I can now no longer drink and stay up late and get up early. I can do two of those things, not three. I can drink and get up early. I can drink and stay up late. I can stay up late and get up early. I cannot do all three. And I'm pretty grumpy in the morning if I'm tired. And I know I'm going to do a bunch of people. And I had to get breakfast and it didn't happen that one day. So, I mean, there's a chance that that might have, you know, dialed up to 11 my aggravation at people. But I drew on the social batteries pretty hard this week. So
I don't know. Like I said, I'm still recovering after 5-6 hours of sleep a night. I can't do that much anymore.
I think I hide the fact that I don't really like meeting new people, and like I'm relatively introverted most of the time. I think I hide that pretty well at con. I go into acting mode. I pretend that I'm an extrovert who loves everybody, and I think I pull it off most of the time. You know,
you did good with me.
Yeah, I know you now, so it's not really that much effort.
Oh, I know, but our friendship goes back to meeting at a con.
I know, and that's at the time it was pretending.
Oh,
it's all an act. Just
my raw charisma.
Yeah, raw something. No, sorry. Oh, but yeah, I mean, so lots of people spoke to me. Lots of people said they listened to a podcast and I kind of knew what it was, which was great. It's always fun to hear. I wish I'd have got, same as Zach, really, I wish I'd have had mainly a better idea of what my schedule was going to be so that I could kind of recognize, well, I'm not going to get to see anyone these days, so it kind of shifted all around to here. But I got to have lunch with Ed and Sean before they all went down with con crud whilst they were at the con and stuff. I got to go for a meal with you guys. I got to eat with the judges. So yeah, I got my my three social things out of the way. We're still. I would have liked to have spent more time with you guys. I would have liked to have left the venue more. But
yeah, I realized at one point I went like 48 hours without seeing sunlight.
Yeah, I stepped outside and realized it had snowed and was like -7. I was like, oh crap, what's this? Yeah, but no. I had a good time. It was great. Don't really have much more to contribute, obviously, on the Legion side, because I didn't get to engage with much of it. All of the people working seemed pretty committed and like we were doing a good job. The AMG folks were all amazing and great to talk to about stuff, like just chatting about Legion in general, talking about the up-and-coming stuff. It was all fun. I did get some of the new Legion mats that they had at the con on the prize wall that I don't know if we're gonna hit retail or not. I hassled them on the Sunday as we're packing up. I was like, oh, you said there was a beach mat and the one I've got doesn't look like a beach at all. I think I grabbed the wrong one. So I'll grab another one. It's fine. It's like, yeah, charisma. I passed my charisma check. It's great. So yeah, it was fun.
Before I forget, I do want to actually say congratulations, Ollie. It's a super cool list to have won with. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup. I haven't met you yet. I made a joke about a different Holly, but I don't want to take away from your win at all. It was a hell of a field, and you got there.
Yeah. So
the Shadow Collective, no less.
Yeah. And so we want to touch on the top four. Top four list was that double experimental droids, right?
Yep.
And then I don't remember.
Was it four? I don't remember what the there was three CIS lists. Two were definitely experimental droids. I'm not sure if the third one
was. I don't think the other one was Invasion Force. I think it was standard.
But I think it's just a normal one. And then Shadow Collective with no Force users. It was a double bus, triple swoop bike, and then quad Black Sun. And none of the buses had guns. It was just absolutely crazy. Just get those
Black Suns where we need to be.
What?
It was three EXD. It was 3XP.
It was 3XP. Okay. Yeah, Battle Force Worlds called it. Woo!
Yep. I mean,
called it. It's no longer up to prove me right, but a Rebel Boba list was the top performing.
There you go.
Non-military list.
I did check at the end of day one, and the highest remnant list, I believe, was dark Death Troopers, not dark, double darks. There were two that were still high up, and the higher of the ones was the one I was talking about. So I was pleased with that. And then I don't know what happened.
Then a year after letting me down, Nathan Nicholson, one of his games got lost entirely in game uplink, so his record is a little screwy. If the tournament
they had to do a lot of they had to do a lot of manual pairing the next day. Game uplink shit the bed, unfortunately, on day two.
But you missed your the 60 seconds.
Nathan,
sorry.
Top Imperial. That was all I wanted to say. Well done, friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Vader Battle Force, no less.
Battle Forces taking it on.
And I think I feel like I said it last time. I'm really happy that Battle Forces seem to have enough. It really reminds me, I'm going to go on a tangent here, so do apologize to listeners, but it really reminds me of the early days playing Infinity when they added sectorials, because Infinity was very much like that kind of feel of a game where you just throw in the best units and the cheapest units to bulk activation count, and it just didn't feel like you had a cohesive force. And then release these sectorials, which the overall goal was to still do the same thing, but it felt at least like it was on a theme. I remember a quote from, this is another tangent within a tangent now, a quote from Gav Thorpe when I interviewed him about the Warhammer 7th edition Dark Angels Codex, which was one of like the power three of the books that were like really, really strong. And the quote goes that at least the broken armies in the book all look like Dark Elf armies on the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you look at those Battle Force armies on the table, they look like what they're supposed to be, which I personally really like.
You know, X-Wing is going through that too with a lot of the standard loadout and iconic stuff getting retouches. You know, it's a lot of stuff you've seen on the table in the movies. Maybe Final Table aside of ARC 170s and Y-Wings were just a little on the obscure side. Although I know a lot of people, a lot of the Zoomers like their ARC 170s. So maybe I'm just old and crotchety there. But for the most part now, when people walk into our game stores again, for the first time since like 2019, really before the pandemic, it's back to being a Star Wars game and not some kind of generic player spaceship game.
Yeah. Okay, so I've let us over on a little bit because I figure by the time I edit and truncate silence, we should be back to around an hour. So has anyone got any closing thoughts for the episode? Anything they want to add before we wrap up?
You were probably incorrect to take an intentional draw.
Got him. I was really grateful to everybody that that I met and interacted with. All the people were great. It was a world's tournament. I played people from all around the world. It was like a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity and experience for me. And I was really grateful that everything kind of came together for me to go to Adepticon and experience that. So
it was
nice. Thank both of you and thank all of the people that were there.
Yeah.
I felt welcome and I really enjoyed myself. So thank you all.
It was great having you along because it reminded me not to take for granted that, worlds moved from a 5-hour drive for me to an hour and a half drive for me. And I get to have these in my backyard. And, you know, I've shown up on when FFG used to just do the click-offs, I would lose the click-off sometimes when the website crashed and I would show up to hang out anyway. But definitely remind me that I'm really blessed to geographically have such access to these kind of cool events.
Good. So I do have one question for the two of you, just for like my ego trip question. Right. So compared to when you travel to Calgary, levels of play? What whereabouts? Like, where did you feel? How soft is Calgary? How deluded do I need to be?
All right, so I will answer this first. I feel like I was playing a better list than last time. I would say 100%. That Calgary had a lower floor and a higher ceiling than
I'm a diplomat as yep. hardly ever. The surprising answer from Mr. Matthews.
Yep.
What about you, Alan? How did you feel compared to the Calgary meta from your last traveling?
I think I have to agree with Zach, truthfully. I don't want to disparage any of my opponents because it's like they earned the right to be at Worlds. They won out.
Well, you know, Calgary's the like hardcorest place for Legion ever, obviously.
No, it's not. I didn't play in the last chance, which would be like a really big store tournament. But I would say I'll disagree with Zach. I think there is a slightly lower floor. There's also some excellent people that play up in Calgary and some excellent people that I played here. So
good. That makes me so our league is starting up again. So I added my name last minute. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try and play. And now I've done the drive to Alan's house. So maybe a couple of times I could go down and play in his events if the stars align, kind of thing.
Well, you know, if you make it down on, was it April 11th? Is the second Saturday of April. If we get at least 8 players, I brought back a whole lot of Legion Worlds dice to give away. So
I could win more.
You could win some Legion dice. Man, the prize wall was pretty neat. I'm a dice goblin, so all I did was get dice.
I like the prize wall as a choose your own adventure.
Yep.
I'm really disappointed in X-Wing players because their greed focused on the dice when there were giant tubs of them and they were really cheap, and no one's got any of the template trays to trade because I want the template tray, and I really liked that one. I thought it was cool, but
I should have realized how much I was spending on food and just bought an all dice and also sold them all. I got some alt arts for myself, for my friends, the art print, and then I gave some tickets to a friend who gave me some VIG stuff he couldn't take home.
So I have some Bad Batch Worlds cards to give away.
They are quite handsome, full art cards.
I've got one for Zach because he was very disappointed that he didn't get the option to take one of those instead of a Soontier. And I think I'm going to give these away for people who sign up to a Discord and interact with us on the Legion chat in Discord. So come in there, say you want a Bad Batch and talk to us about Legion in the Discord, and we'll give away some cards over the next 2 weeks, basically.
Feel free to ask me questions about Ewoks. I've played a lot and thought a lot about them, and I'm happy to provide content.
I really enjoy people chatting on the Discord, and people keep signing up, and like we have spurts of lots of chatting, and then it goes quiet for a little while. So you know, if I can drive some people, and you know, yes, you're more than welcome to sign up, steal a card, and then leave. It's okay. But yeah, I figure that will be fun. I'm just waiting for. I ordered some top loaders to put them in, especially so I can ship them without them getting damaged. Because that's just the kind of host I am.
What a swell guy!
Yeah, should I do Patreon? Nah, we'll just give them away to people who interact with us because it's fun. Oh, there you go. And on that note, don't be blind.
Deploy the garrison.
Deploy the garrison.